thank you all for joining. Special thank you to our guest this evening. Special welcome, Rabbi Arye Leibowitz, and Brishus, Rabbi Noah Wittenberg. It is a kavod gadol to share this evening together with you. Hard to believe that it has been 1 year since a lot has transpired, because just about 1 year ago, as things started to unravel with this pandemic, so a small group, we decided we're going to start learning Mishnayos. We're going to start learning Mishnayos, 2 Mishnayos a day. That's it. What would happen if we learned 2 Mishnayos a day? It was right around Purim time. We decided we'll try and experiment. And 2 Mishnayos led to 4 Mishnayos, which led to our first Siyum. We had the great schus, for those who remember, a while ago, to have our first Masechta Mishnayos Seder together with Maran Rav Shechter Shlita, who joined us on Zoom. Our first Siyum, and now we are concluding an entire year of Limud and concluding the entire Seder of Maseches Chagiga and all of Seder Moed. And it just goes to show, and I'm going to leave the time for Rabbi Leibowitz to share the Yechizuk and perspective, but it just goes to show, from what I understand, from what I've received from my Rabbeim, the power of commitment of a little bit, and how even just 2 Mishnayos a day, how long does it take us in the audio upload? 3 minutes, 4 minutes, but 3 or 4 minutes a day over the course of 365 days. I look around this room, I see some chevra who have made multiple Mishnayos Yumim, now finishing the whole. That's a tremendous accomplishment, and I think it speaks to the ability that we have when you have some consistency, even if it's a small amount, to take that level is a great accomplishment. So yashar koach to all those who have learned, whether you learned 2 Mishnayos or 200 Mishnayos. So yashar koach, and I'll make the siyum on the final Mishnah here in Chagiga. We'll say the Hadron. I don't know if there's, I believe there probably is a 10-minute halacha on whether or not we could say Kaddish with a minion on Zoom, which I'm not going to be lower halacha b'fnei posig, but let's assume that we will not be reciting Kaddish on this Zoom. So we'll just say the Hadron as a tefillah that the Rebbe Shalom should give us all chizuk in our learning, gezint, everybody should be well. And then we will turn the floor over to Rabbi Leibowitz to be followed by the first Mishnah in Maseches Bava Kama, the new Masechta, which will be taught by Rabbi Wittenberg. So the last Mishnah of Maseches Chagiga, Chazal, when they organized this, they decided not to just let you cruise out to the last parak, as we know is a lot of inyanim of Tumah and Tara, not so easy. The last Mishnah says, Ketzad ma'avirin al taras azara. What happens? The end of a beautiful yontif. Everybody goes home. They overate a little bit, so we fast bahab. And now we got to straighten up the azara, because there are people who came through who, during the regel, we treated them as tar, but we know lemaisa that we have to be because that may have come through the azara. So the Mishnah says, first thing you do is ma'avirin es hakelim shayvim mikdash. First of all, be tovel all the kelim. And then they tell you, but be careful when you're going through this to all the various people who are going through on Yom Tov. Not that it's so simple for an Amma Arts to end up in the Heichal, but they would make sure, if they don't touch the Shulchan, make sure not to be Metame the Shulchan, because the Shulchan, it's got to be always full with bread. Lechem Ponim Lefanai Tamid, we spoke about recently in the Parsha. The role of the Shulchan in Parshas Truma. We're going to get it next week in the recap in Parshas Vayakel. Since we need to make sure there's always lechem on the Shulchan, we've got to make sure it never becomes tamei. Shalom tigu b'shulchan v'tamu. Kol ha-kelem v'shoi v'mikdash, the Mishnah tells us, all the kelem that were in the Mikdash, yesh lem shniim u'shlishim. They had backup kelem to take their place, and then they had tertiary, third-level kelem, if the backup kelem weren't available. Shemidra rishonim, don't worry, yavu shniim tachteim. Last segment of Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Shev HaMikdash Te'unim Tevila. All of the Kelim in the Mikdash require Tevila, meaning if they were to become Tamei, you could and would toivel them. Chutz mi Mizbach HaZav HaMizbach HaNechoshev Mivnek Chein Kakarka to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer says that the Mizbach HaZav, which was the golden Mizbach inside the Kodesh, and the Mizbach HaNechoshev, which was the outer Mizbach that was full with dirt, they are Kikarka. They're not just Mechubal HaKarka, because they are Kikarka. That the dirt, they're just fixed in, they're part of the ground, and therefore they are kikarka, and therefore they can never become tamei. The chachamim conclude, mipnei shehin mitzupin. ambiguous term, what that means. So two different explanations. The Mefarshim, one explanation is the Chachamim say they are Tamei because of the gold cover, and that constitutes a Kli. Others say no. If you look at the Yochanan balls on the bottom, they say no. Chachamim say that they are Tahorim, that every Kli which is Mitzupa is Tar, and it's a din of a Kli, not a din of a Kluba Lakarka. So two opinions of how to understand this Mishnah. At the conclusion, Nishlam HaMaseches Chagiga. We now conclude Maseches Chagiga, and we say together, Hadra Alach Seder Moed. Hadra Alach Seder Moed V'Hadra Chalon. We'll come back to you. Bli Neder, we'll come back to you. We're going to come back to the Mishnayos, and then we realized after we learned all the Mishnayos, the truth is, it's felt abyssal. We need to learn Gemara to really appreciate the Mishnayos. Then when we go through all the Gemara, we realize, you know, we need a little more. We need the Rosh, we need the Rif, we need the Tosis, we need the Rambam. After we do all that, we realize, how can we do without the Beis Yosef? But at the end of the day, we keep saying Hadra Chalon. We're going to come back. Hadra Alach Seder Moed V'Hadra Chalon. Daita Alach Seder Moed. V'Daita Chalon. L'Nisna Sheminoch Seder Moed. L'Nisna Sheminon. L'Va'amah Adem L'Va'amah Da'asi. Hadra Alach Seder Moed V'Hadra Chalon. Daita Alach Seder Moed V'Daita Chalon. L'Nisna Sheminoch Seder Moed. L'Nisna Sheminon. L'Va'amah Adem L'Va'amah Da'asi. Hadra Alach Seder Moed V'Hadra Chalon. Daita Alach Seder Moed. We say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, please, we want it to be Geshmak. Our children, our children's children, those of us who have all of the Klal Yisrael's children are our children. My Mishnah is at the end. Usually they say the Kaddish, but they have a little extra paragraph. So since we don't have the Kaddish, we're going to say this extra paragraph. Lahodas lahal l'shabeach l'for l'rom l'hanu l'seach l'kol d'rei shivas v'sishbach as David ben Yishai avcha mishichachav v'atzoscha tancheni v'achar kovo tichacheni v'urach nechapa m'leyashkes v'irbo l'shvapo v'lirikol chamoso ashra gevra shoti asvenu v'sishchon v'mitaros l'tolamdenu v'ani v'chazcha v'dachti yog elivi v'shvaseach ashir l'abunaki gamal aloi. So sees Father Noi, Togel Nafshi Veloai, Yil Vishani Vigdeyesh and Il Stoki Antoni, Kechos and Yechai Pe'er, the Chachala Tadechilel, the Yutuku Vishmecho, Kilo Azav to their Shecho Adonai, Simchu Adonai Vigil Tzadigi Varnim Kol Yishme Lei, Ner the Ragli Dvarecha Vorlin is Sivasi, Old Chiki and his son of Atilu Yeshua, Ashir Shalom on the Vase of Mikdash, they would say the Shir that they had in the Vase of Mikdash. Mazel Tov, everyone, Bechavad Godel, please, Tnu Kovalat Torah, our special guest this evening, Ruchim Avoyim, Rav Aryeh Leibowitz.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Brand, and Mazel Tov, everybody, on this beautiful Siyum. It's always a very special pleasure to be able to celebrate a Siyum Mishnayos, because there's something very special about Mishnayos, not only because Mishnah represents Neshama, and we have a tradition that that's the ideal way to learn in someone's merit as an Aliyas Neshama, but and not only because it's the basic foundational text of Torah Shebal Peh, but the thing about Mishnayos is that you don't need that much much time. A couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there, and as Rabbi Brand was alluding to, it just builds on itself. You know, Chazal have an expression in the first parak of Maseches Basra, when they talk about the mitzvah of tzedakah, they quote a pasuk in Yeshayahu Nuntes, Vayilbash tzedakah kishiryon, lomer lecha, mashiryon zeh kol klipo, klipo mitztarefes shirin gadol, af tzedakah kol pruto, pruto mitztarefes lecheshbon gadol. That when it comes to making a beautiful beged, every single strand somehow contributes to make the entirety of the beautiful beged, and the same is true when it comes to tzedakah. You know, when they tell you every penny counts, so it's true, every penny counts when it comes to tzedakah, and the same is true when it comes to Limud HaTorah, that every little bit counts. And a siyum like this really helps express that idea, that every little bit, every little moment counts and can become a foundation for really wonderful and significant accomplishments in Talmud Torah. You know, in the Hakdama to the Bir HaGra on Shulchan Aruch, the children of the Gra wrote what the Gra's parting message was to his community and to those who were around him. And it says, Ki ikur tochachto haisa el akrovim ha'omdim lifnim, those who were in his inner circle, his primary mussar to them, gam el rechokim, and not only to those in his inner circle, even those who are more distant, shlo yotziu zmanam be'efes tikva, not to waste time. Lios kalish enof pekuchos al chelke zmanu l'regoyim yivchenenu, to pay attention to those moments of time that could so easily slip by and so easily be wasted, where you can easily just accomplish nothing. But what should you do with those moments of time? With the most precious thing you could possibly do. Vuhu? Esek HaTorah. And that is Esek HaTorah. Va'avodah l'zdariz ba' lif'ol ba'otza macharitzus. That was the Gra's message to those who were around him, and that's what his children wrote in the Hakdama to the Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch. You know, in Parshas Pekudei, the Torah tells us about each of the kelim, how they were made for the Mishkan, and the Torah says the phrase, Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, 18 times. You know, it would have been much more convenient to describe the entirety of the building and everything that was involved and say, oh, by the way, all of this was Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. But says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh that the reason it says Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe each and every time is to tell us that each detail, each bit, each little bit, where you're going to think, what did I accomplish if I made a shulchan but I don't have a menorah? What did I accomplish if I have some parts, some kelim and not other kelim of the mikdash? If I have some components and not all of the components, and I don't have a functioning mishkan? Every little bit contributes to making that wonderful Mishkan, that Makom Av Hashra'as Hashchina. 18 times, the Torah Kedosha, which doesn't waste a single word, tells us, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So I want to share with you this evening an insight that I had into a Mishnah. It happens to be a Mishnah in Seder Moed. It's not really apropos of a Siyum per se, but I want to learn a Mishnah with you, because I think that's what you should do when you make a Siyum on Mishnayos. So let's learn a Mishnah together. It's a Mishnah that probably we were familiar with even before learning Seder Moed, but I don't know. I took a new look at this Mishnah over the past couple of days, and I think I saw a message that I had never seen before. Just a little bit of background. I heard from Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Tar Vidas, that his Rebbe, Rav Pamza Tzal, would often say a shmuz in connection with the Shkalim of Parshas Kisisa that we just read yesterday. The shmuz was based on this Mishnah in Meseches Shkalim, but I'm going to take that same Mishnah that Rav Pam would say a shmuz on, but I think there's a different angle, a different direction that maybe we can look at this simple Mishnah in and take it in. First, a little bit of background, as you're all familiar, when you learn through Maseches Shkalim, the Parsha that we read yesterday about the Machzis HaShekel at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, while it's employed to count the Jewish people in a permissible way, that is not, the Parsha Machzis HaShekel is not only relevant to a census of the people. In fact, every year, during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, each Jew would be obligated to pay a half shekel tax. Not always a half shekel, sometimes more. They made an assessment each and every year what the needs were, how many Jews were expected to contribute, what the prices of animals were, and what they would need from each and every Jew. Ha'ashir lo yarbeh, ha'adah lo yamit. Everyone paid the same amount, but it just wasn't always a half a shekel. A minimum of a half a shekel that people paid each and every year, and that money was used to pay for the Karbanos HaTzibur. When was that collected? Throughout all of Chodesh Adar. That's why we read Parsha Shkolim a few weeks ago. Right now, this time on the calendar, is Machtzis HaShekel time. It's the time that we're actually collecting the Machtzis HaShekel. And the collection would take place throughout Chodesh Adar, so that by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we'd be ready to purchase Karbanos from that recent collection. The yearly shkalim given during Adar were brought to the Lishcha, to the special room, and B'shlosha Prakim Bashana, the Mishnah in the third parak of Shkalim tells us, Tor Minas HaLishcha. They would take, three times a year, a Kohen would go in to do a Trumas HaLishcha. He would take out boxes of coins and use those to purchase the Karbanos HaTzibur. So now let's learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah in the third parak of Masechta Shkalim, Mishnah Beis, the Mishnah tells us, when the Kohen HaTorem would go in, Ein HaTorem Nichnas, Lo B'Pargur Chafus, the Kohen was not permitted to wear clothing that had a hem on the clothing. Why? The concern is that he could steal coins. A hem or pockets, you could stick some coins. And he's going to this room that's full of Mamon Hegdish, that's full of Mamon HaTzibur, and there's a concern that he can put some money in his pockets, and he's going to walk away with some money. Okay, so I understand that, a concern that he's going to walk away with some money, so he shouldn't have pockets, he shouldn't have hems on his clothing, because you can easily hide money in such places. But that's not all. The Mishnah goes on to tell us, v'lo b'minol, v'lo b'sandal, v'lo b'tfilin, v'lo b'kameya. He's not allowed to go in with any sort of shoes or slippers or socks. He's not, because you could always hide coins in your shoes or your slippers or your socks. He's not allowed to go in with an amulet or with tfilin. Why can't he go in with tefillin? Because after all, you can crack open the box of the tefillin, take the parshios out, put them aside, and start sticking coins where the parshios are supposed to go, and he could sneak some coins out, hiding them in his tefillin. And what's the concern? Not that he's actually going to do this, says the Mishnah. We're not worried that he's actually going to steal. No. What we're worried about is what are people going to say in the aftermath of this fellow's visit, of this Kohen HaTorim's visit to the Lishcha. What are people going to say, says the Mishnah. Shema Ye'ani. What might befall this Kohen afterwards is that he might become poor. V'yomru, and Klal Yisrael is going to say, Me'avon HaLishcha He'ani. He must have gotten poor because it's divine retribution for stealing from the Lishcha. Oh, or maybe he's not going to become poor. Shema Ya'ashir. He might become wealthy. V'yomru, and people are going to say, Mitrumas HaLishcha He'ashir. How did this guy become wealthy? Oh, must be that he took from the Trumas HaLishcha, that he stole money, and that's why he's wealthy now. If the Kohen HaTorim would become poor, people would attribute his fate to this divine retribution for stealing. If he were to become wealthy, people would attribute his wealth to the money he made from stealing from the Trumas HaLishcha. And then the Mishnah explains, and it's really important that people not suspect him of anything. It's not only important that he do right, it's important that he be seen as doing right. Why? Why is that important? So it's a pasuk in the Torah. V'yisem nekiyim me'Hashem u'Yisrael u'mi'Yisrael. We have to protect our reputation, not only in the eyes of Hashem, but in the eyes of our fellow Jews as well. And then the Mishnah continues, V'omer, and in case that's not enough for you, you don't like that pasuk, I have another pasuk, a pasuk in Mishlei. U'matzal chen v'seichel tov bein Elokim v'adam. That not only do you have to have chen bein Elokim, but also be'enei Adam, that other people should not suspect a person of any wrongdoing. So I have a lot of questions on this Mishnah, a lot that's troubling about this Mishnah. First of all, how big of a problem was this? How common was this, that people were sticking coins in the hems of their clothing? Okay, Mela, the hems of their clothing, I understand. Their shoes? I mean, you know, I understand. Pre-corona, post-9/11, you fly on a plane, you have to take off your shoes. I always thought that was absurd. Why? Because one Meshuggah once decided that he was going to put a bomb in his shoes, so all of us have to take off our shoes every time we board a plane. Okay, but I hear it. You have to remove your shoes. Was the tefillin thing really a problem? Was that something that people do? Was that something that was a legitimate concern? Were people sticking coins in their tefillin? I don't know, maybe if I Google it, I'll find people trying to smuggle drugs into Israel in tefillin or something. I'm sure something's been done like that. But really, how big of a problem is this? If you have to be Choshesh the Kohen for doing that, the guy who's being Torim the Lishcha, you should probably get a new guy to be Torim the Lishcha, right? That's the person that you're sending in to be Torim the Lishcha, someone who's going to have such suspicion of doing these outlandish things. Was this a common enough problem that we had to be wary of this and we had to change his behavior and his outfit when he went in? Furthermore, when describing what people will suspect him of, the Mishnah describes two opposite suspicions that cannot be reconciled. Is it that people will suspect him of stealing if he becomes poor, or that people will suspect him of stealing if he becomes rich? The Mishnah says, oh, if he becomes poor, then they'll say, oh, we know why he's poor, because he stole. And there's a God that runs the world, and God is obviously punishing him. And if he becomes rich, oh, we know why he became rich, because he stole. And there's no God that runs the world to punish him. What do you make of that? Which is it? What's going to arouse the suspicion of the people? And finally, at the end of the Mishnah says, I'll prove to you that you need to maintain a good reputation. How do I know you need to maintain a good reputation? Because there's a pasuk in the Torah. V'yisem nekiyem Hashem Yisrael. It's the Torah itself expresses the message unequivocally. You need to be naki, not only me Hashem, but also me Yisrael. You need to be beyond suspicion, even from other people. There is nothing at all vague about that pasuk. Its message is loud and clear. Why then the need for another pasuk from Mishle? In case you're not convinced by the pasuk in the Torah, I'll give you a pasuk that's not quite as explicit in Mishle. U'matzachein v'seichel tov be'enei Elokim v'adam. That you should broadly, generally, have chayin be'ein elokim v'adam. What do you mean? I already have a pasuk. Why would you quote a second pasuk from a less authoritative source, less than the Torah HaKadosh itself, but from the pasuk in Mishle, and especially when the pasuk is less explicit? So I think that there's a profound lesson in this Mishnah, in the mentality of the masses. If people want to accuse somebody, they will interpret either outcome to fit their narrative. Whatever set of evidence there is, it's going to be used to prove the point that they've already made up in their minds. If people are intent on bringing somebody down and assuming terrible things about him, they will do so no matter what the evidence. They'll find the evidence to back up their narrative. Do people become poor as a divine punishment for stealing? Probably yes. I would imagine that sometimes Hashem punishes people with poverty for stealing. Is that the only reason that people become poor? I would think that the holy Tana Hillel would have something to say about that. There are great Jews and very holy Jews in history who were very, very poor, and it wasn't because they were busy stealing. Do people become wealthy from stealing? Probably. Probably there are people that steal, and because of that, they have more money than their neighbors. Is that the only way to become wealthy? The holy Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Charsim, would probably have something to say about that. There have been very, very holy Jews that have been wealthy and have been extremely scrupulously honest about every single penny. And this speaks to the great, great challenge of fulfilling the Yisam Nikiyim. Whatever you do, whatever befalls you, will invite the naysayers to naysay, because that's what naysayers do. They're always going to have what to say. In fact, the Chasam Sofer has a tshuva, in Tshuvas Chasam Sofer Chelek Vav Simen Nun Tes, where he writes to a Talmud, he says, I can see from your letter that you're not being careful in the matter of Yisim Nikiyim. And the Chasam Sofer says, look, I understand that it's challenging. How challenging? You can't make this up. The Chasam Sofer himself, the holy Chasam Sofer, Kol yamai hayisi mitzta'er al mikra hazeh v'yisim nekiyim me'ashem u'mi'yisrael. My entire life I've been bothered by this pasuk. Not what's pshat in the pasuk, not how to understand the pasuk, not that I have some strong kasha with the brilliant mind of the Chasam Sofer. No, I've been bothered because I can't figure out how to fulfill the commandment that appears in this pasuk. Yoser efshar lotzeis yidei shemayim, and then he adds, harbe yoser mi lotzeis yidei habrios. It's so much easier to do right in the eyes of God than it is to do right in the eyes of the Jewish people. Va'oncho yoser kasha ma'od. And yet the punishment for doing wrong in the eyes of the Jewish people is a much greater punishment than doing wrong in the eyes of God. It's far easier to avoid wrongdoing in the eyes of Hashem than it is to do so in the eyes of other people. The Jewish people can sometimes be a cynical bunch. It's hard to win over a cynic. And the Chassam Sofer continues, Eini kedai lahaskir avonos kedoshim. I can't, I'm not somebody, says the Chassam Sofer, who's able to bring up averos of holy people in previous generations, but Torah he. It's Torah, so I need to teach Torah. And he tells us, I would hate to identify great people in history who failed in this area, but I have to explain a parsha of the Torah. The B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven received a piece of land, Be'ever Ayardin, and then fulfilled the condition that they had set out, that they had promised, in leading Klal Yisrael in battle. But they were not Mekayim V'yisim Nekiyim, because people assumed that they wanted the land because they were too lazy to go to battle. And that assumption never died, even though they were not lazy. They went and they fought. And that's why they went to Galus first. What, because of a failure in action? No, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Because of a failure in V'yisim Nekiyim. Because of the way other people looked at them. So my question is now just a very simple one. If the Jewish people are so cynical and will attack you regardless of what you do, how does one actually fulfill the mitzvah of Yisim Nikiyim? What kinds of safeguards will protect a person from the cynical and suspicious eyes of his or her fellow Jews? So I think that the answer is that no matter how you behave in a given situation, nothing can protect you from suspicion. If the Kohen HaTorim were to first think about how to avoid suspicion when he enters the Lishcha, he is too late. People by nature form opinions of others, and then they interpret their behaviors in a way that fits their opinion. You know, I'll try not to get into detailed political conversations, because that's a landmine, but every once in a while, Like currently in the state of New York, every once in a while there's a politician where there are accusations made against the politician. And there's a fascinating thing. Watch what happens with the people around him, his closest circle. Do they jump to his defense, or do they just disappear? And it really depends on the person. Sometimes you'll see people jumping to the person's defense. It's not really true. He really is just a funny guy. It's not... And sometimes you'll see that all of a sudden everyone just disappears and he has no one backing him up. As if to say, you know what? Couldn't have happened to a better guy. Perfectly happy that something like that happened. It's stunning sometimes. When a person is arrogant and self-centered, people will jump at the opportunity to dismiss him and to lower him and to pile on. A more lovable and humble person would likely have had supporters defending him. The way to avoid suspicion and people assuming the worst about you is not to wait till the moment where they might suspect you and then make sure there are no hems and no tefillin and no. The way to avoid suspicion is to become the kind of person that people want to like, that people want to assume the best about. If our every interaction with other people is pleasant, if we exude humility and genuine care, nobody would be looking to find fault in our actions, even when there's room to do so. And that yisod of developing our relationships with others to the point that people want to think the best of us is the best way to fulfill V'yisim Nekiyim. Is it common for people to hide money in their shoes or their tefillin? It doesn't have to be common for somebody to look for fault in us. If we're unlikable and arrogant, people will assume the worst. And if we're lovable and humble, people will assume the best. The Mishnah is illustrating to us just how far suspicions can go when people want to suspect. Is it contradictory to believe that a person being poor and being rich are both proofs of his dishonesty? Of course. But the evidence is not what matters. The narrative already exists based on the relationship. That's what matters. And maybe that's why the Mishnah quotes the second pasuk. The Mishnah is telling us that there is really only one way to fulfill V'yisim Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. How do you do that? Umatza chein. Chen is one of those words in Hebrew that doesn't have a real great English translation. What does chen mean? I always used to tell my students when I taught in high school, whenever they would translate, you know, they'd sometimes read a pasuk and translate the word chen, and they would say favor. So I'd say, favor? Like, can you do me a favor? What does that mean? Found favor in his eyes. I used to explain to them, you know what chen means? You know that friend you had from summer camp that you don't see during the year? You live in New York, he lives in Chicago or Los Angeles or something, and you never really see him. But like, you're best friends all summer long. You get along great, and you always think to yourself, if I live closer to that person, we'd be best friends. Because I just like that guy. That's just a good dude. That's just a guy that like I really like. That's chen. Chen means that it's just someone that you feel good about. It gives off, for lack of a better term, a positive vibe. The pasuk is telling us, you want to fulfill the yisin nekim, don't wait for that moment. You have to make sure matzah chen v'seichel tov bein elokim v'adam, to always have chen in general. Now, I recently read a rabbinic biography of a rav from Lakewood, of Shlomo Gissinger. I had never heard of him, so I bought the book, because, it's always good to learn about new people. The book reported that Rav Gissinger, who is the rav of a large shul in Lakewood, started as a small shul, became a large shul, would regularly, consistently show up late to Kabbalah Shabbos on Friday night. Every week he would show up late. Yet nobody thought less of him for it. I would bet that if most rabbis, certainly me, would come late to shul regularly, they would be the target of all sorts of rumors and accusations. What are they doing? He's got one job. He's got to be in shul. He's the rabbi. How come he's not here? What's happening? But not so with Rav Gissinger, because everybody knew that every moment of every day was taken up with extraordinary acts of kindness, and that if he was late on Erev Shabbos, it's because he had to get something to the hospital for that person that was stuck there over Shabbos, or he had to help the person that was stuck on the highway, or he had to. There was always a chesed that was happening in the last moments before Shabbos, that there was a diagnosis that someone was awaiting, and he had to get the scans to the doctor. There was always something happening in those last moments before Shabbos. That chen that he developed with all that chesed gave people the ayin tova with which to view him. So the message, one simple mishnah, Masechah Shkalim, wasn't Masechah Shkalim about a bunch of coins. One simple mishnah, Masechah Shkalim, two profound messages. That first, we could all stand to be a little bit less cynical. If we're constantly interpreting data about others in a negative way, it might say more about our attitude and the glasses with which we view others than about their actual behaviors. And second, the way to avoid cynicism and criticism is not only through transparency and care, but through cultivating positive relationships, where everybody we meet should think of us and say, I really like that person. That's a good dude. I wish we didn't live so far apart from each other. They seem so genuine and so kind. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. I think that there is no single way to develop a positive feeling about another person more than having a shared experience in Talmud Torah together with another person. The warmest feelings I know that I have, and I'm sure many others who learned in yeshivas, are of our old chavrusas. Chavrusas that we spent so much time with, learning with, growing in Torah together with. There's just that overall feeling, my chavrusas, as far as I'm concerned, can do no wrong. Thank God they don't, but they actually can do no wrong. A shared experience in Talmud Torah allows you to see the best of other people. And when a community comes together, when people decide that now I have extra time on my hands because I'm going to be in my house, I'm going to be stuck because there's a pandemic going on, and I'm going to take this opportunity to learn Torah. No, not just learn Torah myself, to learn Torah together with others. That together we're going to join in this shared limud. That's something that brings Klal Yisrael together like nothing else can. The Gemara tells us when a person is Porish Mechaveri, you should do so mitoch divrei Torah, b'shem mitoch kach zochreyu, Chazal tell us, that he'll always remember you, because Torah is that shared experience that brings people together. So yeah, we should learn Mishnah after Mishnah, and Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Each one is valuable, each one is important, each one has valuable lessons. And as we build one Mishnah after the other, you'll see, you've already seen what you can accomplish in terms of finishing an entire Seder, and you should continue finishing Mishnah after Mishnah, Perek after Perek, Masechta after Masechta, Seder after Seder, and finish the entirety of Shas together with each other, and be able to see the very best in each other, to appreciate not only your own chelik in Torah, but the chelik of everybody else around you in Torah, and continue to enhance your own community and all of Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much for inviting me this evening to share in this beautiful simcha.
Amen, amen, amen.